sorry, 2 Timothy 4. And this is just two little sections of scripture that Paul wrote, and it's and I just want to draw out two little phrases out of these things. But let's just read through it real quick. In 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching." Notice the word endure. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Okay? Say it one more time. They'll have itching ears. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. I want to come back to that in just a second. And it says, "And they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they'll wander off into myths." I've talked about that. I did a lesson on wandering one time, how we don't just immediately run away from things, but it's the wandering that gets us. "They'll turn away from the truth, wander off into myths." And verse 5 says, "And as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of evangelist to fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Let's stop there. And there's something about that to me this week, in the last couple of weeks, about fighting the fight of faith. He says that, "I have fought the good fight," which he defined as finishing the race and keeping the faith. And so, I mean, you guys understood what happened there. He's given Paul, or he's given Timothy these warnings. Here's what's going to happen. People are going to fall away because they've listened to so much bad teaching. And here's what you need to do. He says to stay sober-minded, which just means keep your head on straight. It says to endure suffering. And really, what that says, you know, not just endure suffering, it pretty much says suffer. It says if the opportunity is there to suffer, suffer. I mean, it doesn't say, never says run from suffering. It says endure suffering. And I was thinking, you know, we all just have like these random things. And for some reason, right when I woke up this morning, I was just laying in bed and I was thinking, it's like, man, what do I really, just selfishly, myself, want out of life? And you know what came to my mind immediately? It's like, I just want like a clear path through life, like an easy path. Like that's like the one thing if I could have anything, that's what I would want. No obstacles or troubles along the way or frustrations, just that's what I would want. And I thought that, and I kind of thought, is that really what I'd want, anything? Yeah, that sounds really nice. And then immediately, it just hit me. It's like Romans 5, I think, where it says, you know, if I didn't have trials, you know, then if I didn't have something to persevere through, then I wouldn't have character and endurance and hope, right? Because they produce each other. Your trials produce endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. I might have got that right or wrong. But I really thought that. It's like, man, what? I'm sitting here, I want a clear path, but would I trade a clear path for having endurance and character and hope? Three things that really glorify God. And so, man, you know, you just think about these things. I don't know why I'm even talking about that other than he makes such a big deal here about how important it is that you endure suffering, and that's how you fight this fight of faith. And man, you get so much out of it. And lastly, he just has that thing to fulfill your call, and I'm already half out of time. But he says these two things, and I was thinking through this, and stick with me because this will make sense in a second. But he says, "I have fought the good fight and I've finished the race." That's how Paul looked at his life. He's at the end of his life, and he's writing to a younger man how to get through. And those are the two the main things he says here. Here's as I look back at my life, and I'm not. Some of you guys might think this. I'm definitely not one who thinks Paul achieved, you know, how to live sinlessly. I think Paul struggled too. I really believe that. And, you know, it's not talked about a whole lot, but I don't think he figured out some secret to having a sinless life. I think he had his struggles, and I think he understood how fleshly he was too. And I think he had the same weaknesses any man would have. And But he didn't define his life by that. He defined his life as, I've fought the fight and I've finished the race. That's how he looked at his life. That's how I want to look at my life. But here, let's think about this. He says this thing, finishing the race. And just last week, I have a friend who went and did a marathon, which is like 26 miles, is that right? I think it's 26 miles, which I can't even imagine 1 mile. And so someone going to run 26 miles just kind of blows me away. And it's such a, I mean, it's such a, you know, an obstacle, and just to get through it. And I'm sitting here, we're having dinner with these people, and I'm asking stupid questions because I don't know anything about running. And I'm like, so what time are you going to go for? Or what do you want to average per mile? Just because I'm curious. And they're just like, I don't care, you know. I have one goal, and that's to finish the race. I don't care, you know, what, how hard it is in the middle, or how easy it is right off the beginning, or how, you know, I don't care what my time is at mile 23, you know. I don't care about those little things, because they see the big picture. And for some reason, that just spoke to me. Just, that was their one and only goal, not to do it perfectly, you know, not to have this average, or not to have this, you know, this time at this point. They just want one goal. I want to finish this race. That's the only thing I care about. I'm going to finish. That's only my only thing that motivates me. And that really relates, you know. Man, if we could just see that big picture, because I get so caught up in, man, I really struggled yesterday, you know. I get so focused on this one day thing, or man, this has just been a tough season right now. And I lose this big picture that my main goal, and Paul's main goal, it looks like, in his life, was that he made it through his life with a finishing the race mentality. That he finished. That's what he kept the faith. He hung on to his faith until the end. He endured false teaching. He endured trial. And he endured frustration. And I think right after this, he talks about people leaving him. And he endures all this hardship. And he's like, I finished the race. And that's so powerful, guys. I mean, if that was the mindset and bucket list thing and goal of our life, to hang on to faith until the end. And then he says this other thing. He's like, I'm fighting the fight. And I'm going to go to another verse here in a second where he talks about this, he says the exact same phrase. He says, I have fought the good fight. I fought the right fight, which he defines as I've kept the faith. And, man, it's the same thing, just that having that big picture mentality. A fight is such a good example. I love that Paul used a fight, because if you know anything, if you've seen any kind of fight, nothing matters in a fight except for the end. Isn't that right? I mean, if you think about boxing, who cares who won rounds 1 through 11? It's who standing in round 12, you know, that wins the fight. And it's just, like, I was watching, maybe you guys don't care about football. Football is one of my passions. But Michigan and Michigan State, two of the top teams, played yesterday. I don't know if anyone knows about this game. Jet probably does. So Michigan State's they're supposed to win. They're like number 4 in the nation. Michigan's the underdog. Michigan was winning the whole game. I mean, Michigan State didn't have one lead the entire game. And they go to close it out, and all they have to do, there's 10 seconds left, and all they have to do is just punt the ball away, get it away, time will run out, and game over. Michigan pulls off the upset. They led the whole game. Well, hopefully you don't have this on your DVR and you're about to watch it, but what ends up happening, they snap him the punt, the punter, it's a little bit low, and he goes down to catch it, and it bobbles off of his hands, and then he freaks out in the moment, and instead of just falling on it like he should, he tries to like do some weird thing where he turns around and tries to punt it off somewhere, and he ends up getting hit and misses it, and one of the Michigan State guys grabs it, and he's running down, and he's got like a wall of blockers, and there's one guy left to beat, and he hits him, and he just drags and falls right into the end zone right when time expired. And my only point, I'm just excited about that, because it was one of the greatest plays ever. But, you know, but the point of that is, man, Michigan won for 59 minutes and 59 seconds. With Michigan State didn't have a lead. And on the last second, Michigan State gets the lead and they win. And so you understand my point then. I mean, just that's a fight. And that's how you need to think about your life fight. Man, don't get so focused on here's the problem. Like, guys like me are so focused on things I did 10 years ago, which is so sad, you know. And I know some of you are like me in that. You get so focused on things that are gone and done away with, you know. And you get too focused on past things in your fight. And some of you guys are so worried about your future and what's going to happen and, you know, and get worried about that. And some people are just so stressed out about things that are, you know, right now. And man, if we could just look at the end is the goal. The last second falling into the end zone is my goal, you know. It's not winning, you know, even though we should try to win, it's not, that's not the whole point of everything. Fight the fight of faith. And have the mindset of a fighter that you win in the end. That's the point in these things, I think. Both of these things are about endurance and the end. So take a couple pages back. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, where he says something similar. I was going to read the context. I don't have time, but what we'll talk about is just 1 Timothy 6. Yep, and verse 11 is probably where I'll read from. The context before that is again, Paul's writing, and he brings up these points like, he brings up things like, there's all kinds of false teaching. Here's the effects of false teaching. People are falling away because they love money, and they're just throwing themselves into temptation. And then he comes in, he says, he is kind of where he changes gears, and he says in 11, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, okay? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. The exact same words to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So, here's the whole point in my lesson today. I brought up two verses that I found where Paul says that his main charge to probably his main guy at the end of his life is fight the good fight of faith. And I bring that up because, unbelief, I wrote, I think, here's what I see. I guess the best way to describe this is I see myself and some people I'm close to, I see two things, I think. I see people who either aren't fighting, you know, which what I mean by not fighting for faith is I mean, it's just too easy to let lies slip into your mind. Like, you just hear something about yourself, whether it's from a person or from the enemy or from your childhood or from your past, and you hear something and you believe it way too easy. You don't stand up and fight the fight of faith, you know? You don't have any battle for truth. See, I think people do that, you know, for several reasons we'll talk about. And some people are just completely fighting the wrong battle, which is, you know, trying to work so hard for God, and they're not fighting the fight of faith, they're fighting the fight of works, and fighting the fight of, you know, trying to be good enough, and trying to do this for God, and they're not fighting the fight of faith. And the fight of faith, he uses it both times, fight of faith, it's so important, because I think unbelief is really the root of every single sin. Okay, Hebrews 3 says, take care, brothers, unless there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief, okay? I think unbelief is really the root of every single sin, okay? It says money is the root of all kinds of evil, but unbelief, that's really the root of sin. I'll show you why. So you think about, and I did this, you think about all the sins you struggle with, and you track them back to unbelief every time. Okay, I'll read through my list, and you guys can think about your own list as I'm talking. But I wrote, fear is the wrong belief, okay? Fear is the wrong belief that God will fail you, and it's unbelief in God's love. You guys agree with that? All right? Fear is the belief that God is going to fail you, and it's unbelief in God's love. Shame, who struggles with shame? Shame is the belief that God holds your sin against you, and it's unbelief in the power of the cross. Regret is the belief that your mistakes define you, and unbelief in God's redemption, right? You hang on to your garbage because you don't believe in God's redemption. Lust is the belief that God is not satisfying, and it's unbelief in God's ability to fulfill you. Unforgiveness is the belief that justice is yours, and it's the unbelief in God's ability to father. Okay, and I wrote it like that because I was thinking of, in my own unforgiving situations, that's what I think. I think God's going to get onto me for stuff, but he's not going to get onto that person, so I have to hold it against him. You know, that's really what I think. And I think a lot of times that's what's behind unforgiveness. It's the belief that justice is yours to give, and it's the unbelief that God's not going to father them like you think he should. Pride is belief that you are great, and it's an unbelief that God is holy. Covetousness is belief that things of the world bring happiness, and it's an unbelief that God is the giver of joy. Okay? Every sin, and that's just a short list, every sin can be traced back to a wrong belief about God. You know, it's an unbelief about something the Bible says, and it all goes back to that. And so that's why it's such a big deal that you fight the fight of faith. Like I said, some people either aren't fighting and some people are fighting the wrong battle. And he answers this. He has these three things. He says, flee. As for you, O man of God, flee from these things. Okay? This is how you fight. Here's your definition. Okay, Levi, you've made the point. I need to fight the fight of faith. I wish I had more point to drag that out or more time to drag that out. But he says, flee. Here's how you fight. You flee from these things. And I've made this point a lot if you've listened to my teaching. Satan almost never gets you at line number one. You guys remember me talking about that? You know where Satan gets you? He gets you in your endurance. And it looks like this. If I'm tempted with something, most of the time he can tempt me with something. First time, it doesn't even register in my mind, right? Second and third time, you know, you kind of keep thinking about it. Does anyone else relate to this? You kind of keep thinking about it. You think about it, and you're like, no, no. Most of the time when I sin, I've said no 100 times, and it's at 101 that I give in. Most of the time. I'm guessing most people are like that. Most people don't give in that easy. You say no a lot, but he just keeps hounding, you know, and keeps bugging you with it. And eventually you just keep thinking about it. It takes more of a place in your mind. It sounds better. Okay. That's how people sin. He gets you on the endurance of your belief, right? Say it one more time. The first time he tempts you, you say, no, God's enough for me. Second time you say, you know, I believe what God says about that. It's worthless. Number three, you know, you're like, actually, maybe that does look all right. God's not really satisfying me right now. Four, you know, and you get the point. It goes on and on and on, and the endurance of your faith dwindles. You know, you're not staying in the fight of faith, and he gets you. And so he says, flee, and I love the word flee, especially for young people. I did this lesson with the young kids a while back, and man, he says the word flee, because at step one, that should be your reaction. The first time you hear that, Satan's gotten everyone in the history in the Bible, I think, with this enduring of their faith thing. When you hear step one, try this thing, your reaction should be flee. Run from that, you know. Get away from that right now because your endurance is limited. It really is. So flee from these things. Flee from false teaching. Flee from the love of money. Flee from not being content with what you have. That's the things he's talking about. Flee, though. It means just get out of there no matter what. Don't think you're stronger than what you are. Don't think you're the exception who can get through this one. Get out of there. And secondly, he says pursue, which pairs so perfectly because I just love, it's so important that you understand that you can't just flee and run to nothing. You've got to flee and run to God, right? And so, and you guys know that, and I've used this illustration before, and I'm going to get the names wrong because it's something I didn't care about in high school, but you know that there's that siren song thing that you learn about with Greek mythology, and maybe, you know, it has something to do with that, and maybe you guys know what I'm talking about, but it's the old, you know, fable kind of story about the guy and in the Odyssey, I think, and he's on the boat, and he gets to go through, and there's the mermaid kind of siren people, and they sing a song, and it's irresistible, and they're trying to figure out how to get by him because the whole crew just starts diving in after these, because that song is so powerful to them. You guys heard this before? I know I've shared it maybe once or twice. Sean's heard it, thank you. I'll explain it a little more clearly. So there's like these evil creatures, and they sing this song. They're called sirens, and the song's so enticing, and the people go by in their boat, and they hear the song, and they have to have it. Nothing ever sounds so enticing to them before. So they're doing crazy things to try to get by these evil creatures, because when they give in, they die. And so they're putting like beeswax in their ears, and they're strapping themselves to the mast. You know, and it's so enticing that they're strapped in and they go by, and then they're even begging, untie me, I got to get that. And that's how we are with sin. That's why I like this story. It's always really, really related to me about this. And finally, I think it's Jason and the Argonauts, if you want to look it up. He comes up with this better idea, and he goes through, and he's on his boat, you know, and he's fighting the same battle, and they're going to hear the siren song, and he knows it. And so what he does is he gets this guy, I think named Orpheus, to get out his stringed instrument, and he gives him this command. He says, here's the only way we're going to get through this. You play a better song than what the sirens can sing, you know, because my struggling and my tying myself to the mast and putting beeswax in my ears isn't working. You play a better song. You get the point? I mean, and so they go through, and he plays a better song, and the song that this guy plays on his harp or whatever it was is so much more beautiful than the siren song. They stay on the boat. And it's the same thing with God. I'm making this point because he says the word flee, and he says the word pursue, and you can't just flee the siren. Sin's too enticing. You can't just flee, you know. You've got to have something you're pursuing. You have to have something better, and that's something that your soul craves more, right? And that's God. God is our song on the boat, where it's the only thing in the world that sounds more beautiful than the enticement of sin, for whatever reason. And God is your song. You know, he's playing for you. It's Christ on the cross. And so he says this. He says, flee, you know, sin immediately. But don't just run to nothing. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness. Pursue these things. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what fighting the fight is. It's running from one thing and running towards another. And you know where you find all these things, which is the whole point in this lesson? You pursue every one of these things he listed out in Christ. Is there anywhere else that you find righteousness other than Jesus? Is there anywhere else you find true love and true gentleness? You're called to pursue these things, and by pursuing these things, you pursue Christ. I'm out of time. I'll finish this lesson next week. I was talking to my grandpa this week, talking about World War II and random stuff, and he's telling me how all his brothers got drafted, and I was just thinking about that. It's like, no choice, you know. No, you don't just get to pick and choose, do I want to go to war or not. You're drafted in, and you're there. Nothing you can do about it. And that's you. I mean, you've been drafted into war. You don't just get to pick and choose if you're in the war or not. And you don't get to, you know, choose if you want to stay home or not fight today. You're in the war whether you like it or not. And that's the mentality you got to have. I want war. Is there anything more inspiring to people? That's why there's so many war movies. And it's because it's you. You're in the fight. You're in the war. You're in a race. Your goal is the end. That's the only thing you keep your eyes on. The end is Christ. That's what I'm running towards. That's the end of my race. You know, it's not this stumble here or this tiredness here. The end of my race is Christ. Wish I had more time. Father, I thank you so much for these great words from Paul. I pray that you would give us that endurance. And I pray, Father, that I pray that you would give us just clear eyes to see that, Lord. I pray that you would give us truth about what unbeliefs we have in our heart that lead to sin. And I pray you to give us an endurance to fight and to truly believe you and your truth this morning. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.